Good morning. Good to see everyone here today. It's certainly nice and enjoyable to reflect on or to look forward to the holy days that are upcoming that we can enjoy together. I want to thank Mr. Terry for his message first thing this morning. Even though we didn't compare notes, our messages will certainly tie in together, and you'll see that as we go along here. There's a question that's been asked more than any other since the beginning of time. And it's asked in many different ways. It's asked by our actions. It's asked by our words. It's not only spoken, but it's asked by the way we do things and the way we interact with other people. It's the tug and striving to outdo the next person. Many times it's asked by young people when they say, "My dad is bigger than your dad." But it's also asked by people of all ages. And pursuing this question is the cause of strife between workers and employers and employees, siblings. It's the strife between spouses, between nations, and even church members to church member. It was asked when Lucifer rose up to try and take over God's throne. It was asked by the disciples at Christ's time. Even after spending years following our Savior and being with Him all the time and learning from Him, they still asked it right up to the Passover and the time of His death. Right up to the foot washing service when Christ was teaching us to be a servant leader. Well, what is this question? It's the question of who is the greatest? And if you would like a title for my message today, it's simply, "The Greatest." Well, should we as Christians be striving to be the greatest? And if not, what should we be striving for? The Council of Elders recently has been discussing the importance of servant leadership. And that brings up the question, how should we as Christians be leaders? Well, today we're going to look at servant leadership and see why it's important for each and every one of us to be striving to have the heart of a servant. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians today. We're going to read in chapter 2. This is going to be our key scripture today. We'll be coming back to it, referring back to it. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Philippians 2, 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men." When we look at this verse and it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus," the New American Standard Bible states it this way, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Well, what attitude was he referring to? Well, we just read it here. "Made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man." All things were created through Christ. This great being was willing to humble himself and be made as a man. The theme of the upcoming General Conference of Elders is serving as Christ serves. And when we think of servant leadership, it's called by many different names. One would be serving as Christ serves, or Christ-centered servant leadership. But what is servant leadership? Let's take a moment to define servant leadership. Some time ago, Mr. Holliday brought a speaker in, Mr. Howard Baker from the University of Louisiana, to speak to the General Conference of Elders. And in his presentation, he presented a topic of servant leadership. He discussed how different businesses had picked up on leadership training and incorporated the servant leadership principle into their businesses, and how that had rewarded their business to be a much better and more profitable business because of the leadership skills of being a servant leader. He gave an outline, and I'd like to quote a few passages from his outline here that we might be able to define servant leadership. He went on to state that a servant leader must have a great deal of love and concern for those served. He went on to state that servant leaders are more interested in being in touch than in being in control. A servant leadership culture is like a family. Servant leadership organizations have a culture of the heart. They are more than organizations. They are covenantal communities where relationships are based on covenants and people are bound by a deep sense of loyalty to each other. He went on to say that leaders are not placed in the body for privilege, but for service. Class privileged is the antithesis of service. And a privileged class structure makes an organization incapable of real service, servant leadership. He went on to say that to understand servant leadership is to truly understand Jesus Christ and God the Father. The church is a family in which God rules supreme, but kindly and lovingly in a way that builds and affirms each member and makes hierarchy superfluous. The church must not be viewed as a chain of command, but as a network of love, he stated. And he stated a servant leader serves by preparing to serve. It's an important step in preparing to serve is a careful and honest self-assessment of ourselves. And that's certainly something that we've been doing and should be doing coming up to this Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread season. When we think about defining servant leadership, the United News, in an article titled Learning Leadership Through Service of July 2008, stated this: service can be defined as leadership in action, directed toward a godly purpose that helps us build character and influence others, while allowing God's grace and the fruits of His Spirit to serve as a greater testimony to the work He is accomplishing now on earth and in each of our lives. Wikipedia states that servant leaders continually strive to be trustworthy, self-aware, humble, caring, visionary, empowering, relational, competent, good stewards, and community builders. And as we look through and are defining servant leadership, another article written by Mr. Holliday titled Christ's Leadership Approach, he defined it this way. He said that we've all been called to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And that means we will serve humanity in the future. The greater the responsibility in the kingdom, the greater will be the opportunity to serve. However, we won't be in the kingdom unless we are learning to apply the mind of Christ in all of our relationships today. Very important. He goes on to say, we won't automatically become servants in the kingdom if we don't learn to be servants today. United Church of God's critical essence statement is this: meaningful relationships. And we're going to be hearing more of that as time goes on. So what does that have to do with servant leadership? Well, in order to have servant leadership, we must have meaningful relationships. Must have relationships with God, and we must have meaningful relationships with other people. If we think about it, we think about the two great commandments, loving God and loving each other. We might ask ourselves, did Hitler have meaningful relationships with his countrymen? Or did Joseph Stalin have meaningful relationships with his? No, it was a stand up and march or be killed. And that's not a meaningful relationship. It was obey, line up and march, do what I want. Well, relationships in the church today are family-based. They're not military-based. And that's why we call each other brethren. God is our Father. That's why we pray, our Father in heaven. It's not line up and march. It's not a pecking order. It's service, servant leadership. We see the difference there. Well, all meaning and all understanding can only come from a relationship with God through His Holy Spirit. We're not going to learn anything by standing up and marching. Mr. Armstrong used to say often that the basis of the world's problems is relationships, failed relationships. He used to also say that there were two ways of life, and many of us remember that. It's the way of give and the way of get. Well, servant leadership is give leadership. It's the way the way of get is the world's form of leadership. All we have to do is look at the leaders of the world, the evil dictators. Look at the problems that we face in the world. It's a way of get leadership, the evil dictators. I'm reminded of a sermon that was given here some time ago by a visiting minister where he compared the leadership of Pharaoh to the leadership of Moses, and how the leadership of Pharaoh was a get leadership. The leadership of Moses was a give or servant leadership approach. For we know that Moses was the meekest man on earth. In that United News article titled Jesus Christ's Leadership Approach, it states that Christ explained there were two different approaches to leadership, the world's approach and the servant approach. The natural approach is to use authority to lord over others. Christ did not say there were no positions of authority, but that authority and power is used to serve. True servant leadership occurs when we submit to God and show His love to others through our attitude and our actions. Well, when we're learning about servant leadership, we must understand that this is for everyone. We can all serve, and it takes a personal commitment. We are all leaders. We might say, well, I'm not a leader, but we are. We are all leaders. We might take the time to think about how we might be leaders in our personal lives. We are leaders with our families. We are leaders with those who we come in contact with at work. Our children, our spouses, even those that we meet on the street, are by our example, we are leaders. Are we servant leaders? I'm even reminded of a time that a church member said, and this is kind of an extreme example, but it's to prove that we can all be leaders. And that is, his mother-in-law was dying of a sickness. And he was bringing out and stating how encouraging it was that she was being such a leader in going through this. He made the statement that she was teaching us how to die. That's a servant leader. We can all be servant leaders with our co-workers, friends, and family. We don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians we are reminded that even the unbelieving husband or the unbelieving wife is sanctified by leadership of the converted spouse. Now that's servant leadership. So how do we lead? Do we do that by saying, I'm the boss, line up and march? No, we don't do it that way. The impact of our service goes beyond the service itself. It goes by influencing the lives of those that we serve, actually influencing their life. Others might see our example. Let's turn over to a passage that shows us that in the book of Matthew. Matthew 5. We're going to read verse 14 today, the book of Matthew. Talking about our impact on others' lives and our example of servant leadership. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And if it gives light to all who are in the house, let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we see that service is a way of life. It's not just a one-time event. It becomes a part of us. It's the ongoing dedication of investing our time and our ability in helping others. We are to serve with an open heart and a willing attitude. There are many opportunities to serve. Service at times can simply involve being there and being encouraging and comforting to someone, being a comforting presence. It can be simply just our example as others look and see us. Our children are learning from us, and so are other people that come in contact with us. Well, we've defined servant leadership, but sometimes there is opposition to servant leadership. Well, let's look a little bit at the opposition that people will say, well, this maybe isn't such a good idea. What are some of the arguments against it? Well, some people have a problem with servant leadership because it has its recent history in a secular leadership concept. For if we study into it, we see that it was launched in 1970 by a man by the name of Robert Greenleaf. And Robert Greenleaf developed a servant leadership program. And this program is taught to many businesses around the world. And people have a problem and say, well, this is a secular concept. What does this really have to do with me? Well, when we look at the concept of servant leadership, we see that the secular leaders are just learning what Christ gave and what Christ taught as a godly principle by his teaching and his example. It wasn't that this was just discovered in 1970. This was taught all the way back through from the time of Christ on. Leadership trainers have just taken this Christ-inspired concept and put it to work because they see that it works. Well, some will say that Christ wasn't a servant leader, that he was a strong leader. Or maybe he's a servant leader part of the time and sometimes he's a strong leader. In the sense that, well, you can't be one or the other at the same time. And they might use the examples of turning over the money changers. Well, Christ was a servant leader all of the time, and he taught us to be a servant leader. And when we look at the term of being meek and the meaning of the term meek, there is no conflict there. Being a strong leader and a servant leader actually go hand in hand. And all we have to do is research those terms. We mentioned before that Moses was the meekest man on earth. We see that stated in the book of Numbers. And we see that Moses was not meek. Or Moses was meek, but he was a servant leader at the same time. We see that Christ was not weak, but he was a servant leader. Servant leadership is not meek, or is not weak leadership. Well, let's see some examples of Christ teaching us about servant leadership. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew. I think we're already there, but we're going to go over to Matthew 20 and look at some examples of Christ's teaching. Christ's teaching about servant leadership. Matthew 20. We're going to read in verse 20 today. This is an example that he gave. Matthew 20:20. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." Verse 23. So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared by my Father." Verse 24. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. Now, we don't see servant leadership in action here. Verse 25, and Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you let him be your servant. So we see a lesson here in servant leadership. Let's turn over to the book of Luke. Luke 18. We're going to see some other examples and lessons of servant leadership. Luke 18. We're going to read starting in verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Look how great I am. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we might ask ourselves, who was the servant leader here? Who was the example of a servant leader? Let's turn over one page over to chapter 19 in the book of Matthew, starting in verse 13. Matthew 13. I'm sorry, let's turn over to the book of Mark. Lost my place there a second. Mark 12. We're going to read verse 41 and looking at some examples of being servant leaders. Mark 12, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. He was sitting back watching, people watching as they put their money in to the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. And my margin tells us that it's a very small copper coin, not worth very much at all. And so he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, here was an opportunity for them to learn, teach a lesson. Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Once again, we might ask, who was the servant leader here? We can all be servant leaders. So we've seen and looked at some examples of being a servant leader. But we might ask ourselves, how important is it? How important is it to be servant leaders? Let's turn over the book of Matthew now, to Matthew 18. And we'll ask that question. Matthew 18. How important is it to be a servant leader? And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, and what were they saying? They were asking that question. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? This is what was on their mind. They were trying to be the greatest. They were striving to outdo each other. And Christ wanted to teach them a lesson, the lesson of servant leadership, used this example. And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter in the kingdom of heaven. So how important is it? It's vitally important. So therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And as we mentioned before, as Mr. Holliday mentioned, if we don't learn this lesson, we won't even make it into the kingdom. So we are to have the heart of a child. Let's turn over to Matthew 19. just a page over. We're going to read verse 13. We're going to see this lesson emphasized again. This is the verses that we reflect on when we have the blessing of the little children. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them, and he departed from there. The blessing of the children, this lesson in humility, this lesson in servant leadership. Well, what are some characteristics of a child that we might reflect on? Children are forgiving. Stop and think about it. They are warm. They have a sense of joy. Children have a sense of humility. The ESV Study Bible, in reference to this verse, states that the humility of a child consists of childlike trust, vulnerability, and the inability to advance his or her own cause apart from the help, direction, and resources of a parent. We understand that children are gifts from God, and we have an obligation to treat them as blessings from God because they are a lesson in humility for us. We are to strive to have these attributes of children. Well, what are some characteristics of a servant? They're cooperative, teachable, they're not a know-it-all, they're diligent, they're submissive to others, and they serve from the heart. In a recent presentation to the Council of Elders, Mr. Luker stated that Christ-centered servant leaders is essential for even being in the kingdom. The United Church of God's vision statement is as follows. We envision a church family where every member embraces a lifelong commitment to understand and practice the true principles of godly leadership as taught by Jesus Christ through His words and example as servant and leader. As a result, the church family will be developing Christ-like leadership, which is service to others motivated by godly love for the purpose of helping each reach their full God-given potential. The outcome will be a church truly prepared and equipped for the work of service, both now and in the kingdom of God under Jesus Christ, the United Church of God's vision statement. So we understand and we see that everyone should serve. We should not have the attitude that we're above doing anything or that we're above others. Service sometimes goes unrecognized. And if we are serving to be recognized, maybe we should reevaluate that. Are we striving to be recognized? Let's turn over and look at the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and see what it says about being recognized, striving to be recognized with our service. Matthew 6, we're going to start in verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. In verse 3, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In verse 4, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So that we shouldn't be having the idea of serving to be recognized. That should not be our motivation. Well, when we talk about characteristics of a servant leader, we need to understand that a servant leader accepts feedback. A servant leader can take correction, can improve. We might think of the time that God spoke through a donkey. And if God can speak through a donkey to correct someone, He can speak through anyone to correct us and help us to improve. God can speak through a child, a widow, anyone to teach us. And we should be receptive to His admonition. God can use anyone. I know those who have children know that they have learned from their children. We've all learned from our parents. We've learned from others on the job or wherever. Servant leadership, a servant leader seeks legitimate input. And that takes humility, no matter who we are. Most leaders would rather do anything than to accept and get feedback. But a servant leader accepts feedback. Servant leader seeks to learn from all experiences, is teachable, is humble, is meek, as we've already mentioned that. Matthew 5 and verse 5, let's turn over here. This would be the Beatitudes. Let's read verse 5 in chapter 5 here in Matthew. Blessed are the meek, and this could be happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The New Living Translation states this when it states that God, it states it this way, God blesses the meek, the gentle and lowly, and they will inherit the earth when Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God. Very important. We don't need to turn there, but Psalms 37 and verse 11 tells us the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Well, when we think about the example of meekness, Jesus Christ was the perfect example of meekness. Let's turn over to Matthew 11 and we'll see that. Matthew 11 verse 29. Let's start in verse 28. Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The perfect example for us. We're talking about some characteristics of a servant leader. As we continue, we understand that a servant leader is passionate, gives unconditionally, is a healer of relationships. A servant leader listens. And a true servant leader is committed to a true set of values or principles. A servant leader gives encouragement and positive feedback. It is compassionate. Is steadfast in an attitude of service, passionate. It's a way of life for them. A servant leader is not selfish. And we might ask ourselves, how many problems do we ever get into because we are selfish? Or how many problems do we see the world or others in because of selfishness? Well, let's take a moment to think about what the world would be like with a servant's heart. How would the world be different? Imagine a world where everyone you came in contact with was a servant leader. Think about our politicians. What if they had a servant's heart, or they were servant leaders? Think about those you've had problems with at work. And if we were all, including those, servant leaders. Think about our families. Our families give us the perfect opportunity to learn servant leadership. We see many marriages fail because of selfishness, a lack of concern or neglect for the other mate. As parents, we are in charge of our families. We are also their servants. Sure we are. Any of those that know that have children know that. It's the most powerful way that we can teach is by our example. And our approach must be dedicated to growth and development of our families and all of those that are around us. Well, think about a world that would have a servant's heart, a child's heart. Imagine a world that had the heart of a child, that esteems others better than themselves, that forgives, that apologizes if they've offended someone, that cooperates, that's teachable, that's truly humble. Well, throughout life, we can ask as we approach decisions that we have that we're going to be making, is this decision coming from the heart of a servant leader? And am I being a servant leader when I make this decision? Or when we find ourselves with difficulties with others, am I being a servant leader? We see that Christ came as our Lord, but He was a servant leader, a servant to all mankind. He had humility. He taught us by example to have the heart of a servant. We should have that heart of a child. When we think about it, this is a Passover message. And as we look forward to the Passover coming up tomorrow night, we can reflect on these things. Christ was our unconditional servant leader. He serves us unconditionally. He bore our sins. And He didn't deserve it, but He still took our sins. Let's take a moment and look at where it was prophesied that Christ would become a servant leader to all mankind. Turn over with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to look about a prophecy here of our Savior, our servant leader. Isaiah 42, we're going to read starting in verse 1. Keeping in mind, this is a Passover message. Verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon men. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Let's turn over to chapter 52 of Isaiah as we look at this prophecy for our Savior. Isaiah 52, we're going to read in verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal, once again, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, just as many were astonished at you. So his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. And if we can continue on here in chapter 53 about this prophecy in verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. We can put our name in there. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took our sins upon him. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make your soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, and he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, our sins, my sin, your sin. And he made intercession for the transgressors. The ultimate service. The painful suffering and death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is an annual reminder God has given to his disciples to remember the unconditional love Jesus Christ has shown for mankind and his church. We might ask ourselves, how much should we bear one another also? Are we servant leaders? We certainly should be. Well, let's take a moment to look at Christ as a servant leader. Christ came as Lord, but he was a servant to all mankind, as we just read. If you would turn over to the book of John, these verses were read in the sermonette, as they tie directly together here. We're not going to read all of the same verses again, but I will refer to them. The context is the foot washing service. And we see that in verse 4. When they rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. In verse 5, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with a towel with which he was girded. The Nelson Study Bible, in reference to this, in verse 4, says, his garments, Jesus laid aside his outer garment, which would have impeded his movements. And by putting on an apron, Christ looked like the slave to whom the task of washing the feet of guests was assigned. And though the disciples realized what Jesus was doing, it goes on to say, none of them offered himself for the task, for servanthood was not on their minds. It was not what they were thinking about. As we read earlier, what were they thinking about? They were thinking about and discussing who was the greatest. This was touched on earlier, but let's go ahead and touch on it again in verse 16. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. And verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So many times the world wants to know how to be happy. And now it's telling us here. How do we be happy? We are happy by being and following Christ's example of being a servant leader. Put ourselves in that room that evening as Christ washed the feet of the disciples. What a moving, moving experience that would have been. Christ constantly taught and encouraged. He healed. He visited throughout his ministry. He was truly the greatest example of a loving servant in the history of mankind. How great Christ was, and yet he became a servant to all of mankind. Well, Christ instituted the foot washing service to teach his disciples and teach us the proper approach to leadership. Christ was their Lord and our Lord and teacher and Savior, and yet he was willing to wash the feet of the disciples to take the lowest of the lowest servant's job. How many times we say everyone should be humble? Maybe we don't actually say it, but how many times do we feel, sure, people ought to be humble. That doesn't really apply to me, and we fill in the blanks or whatever reason why truly we don't need to be humble. Everyone should serve. except, well, maybe that doesn't apply to me. Well, Christ submitted his life to demonstrate a greater love for humanity. Knowing that he was shortly going to die, he still taught us servant leadership by washing the feet of those disciples during that Passover service with them. Turn with me over to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke 22. We're going to read verse 24. And we see this coming up again. Luke 22, verse 24. But there was also rivalry among them as to which should be considered the greatest. And how many times do we run into that in our lives with people? Who is the greatest? And he said to them, verse 25, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Verse 27, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table. Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. The Nelson Study Bible, in reference to this verse, states that the greatest here, note the sad irony in this verse. It states that while Jesus faced the reality of being betrayed and killed, his disciples argued about which one of them was the greatest. And in verse 26, it states that as the younger as he who serves, it states leadership does not exalt, it serves. It shows respect to others, and as a young person would show respect to an elder, true leaders labor for others, as a servant would. In short, the Lord's view of greatness is the exact opposite of the world's view, the Nelson Study Bible states. So we are to serve, and we see that we are to serve. But who do we serve? Well, many passages as we have seen, teach us to serve each other. We are to be always mindful of others' needs. Words of encouragement. Just a word of encouragement, and whatever our needs might be. There are always needs out there. Many passages tell us to serve God. And how do we do that? We don't need to turn there, but in Ephesians 6 and verse 6, it tells us in how we serve God that we're to serve not with eye service, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So we are to be obeying His laws. We are striving to have His heart, showing the fruits of Christ's character. That's how we are to be serving. So what can we do? We can be developing a Christ-like attitude in our lives, in everything that we do. And how important is that? It's very important. Do we have a genuine care for others? When we have difficulties, do we ask ourselves, am I approaching this difficulty with the heart of a servant? Or am I approaching this with the attitude of a Lord and ruling over someone and being the greatest? Christ was our Lord, but he had the attitude of a servant. We might ask, can anyone have a problem with someone else if we are humbly serving each other? Well, who is the greatest? That's the question we started out with. Is it us when we win an argument? Is it us when we won't cooperate with someone when they seem to be getting more credit or more glory on some project? Is it us when our pride won't let us resolve a conflict that's been going on for years? Is it us when we won't forgive someone? Forgive someone when they have wronged us. We just can't let it go. No, it's not us when we do those things. But it's by humble service. God can do great things through us. With the foot washing service coming up, we should be getting into and practicing a foot washing attitude now and all year long. Foot washing service puts humility together with being a servant. And the result is an attitude of humble service. An attitude. This is an attitude that God can use not only to be a tool and a light for Him, but also to teach others. And it's a way to teach the true way of happiness. Happiness, as we referred to. As we finish up here, I'd like to just quote from a letter written by Mr. Luker as he addresses this Christ-like service to the Council of Elders. And in this letter he states, "Washing the dirty feet of arriving guests who mostly walked and wore sandals was the duty of a lowly household servant. Yet here is Christ, the prophesied Savior of the world, the Son of God, humbling Himself to set an example of love and service for His discipleship and for us today." Mr. Luker goes on to say, "This Christ-like attitude of deep godly love and sincere humility is what we all are striving to emulate." And he goes on to say, "We all fall short, but want to keep learning and growing spiritually so that we can be better servants of God just like Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, "Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ set the example for us, suffered and died for us, and now lives in us to help us become more like Himself." And he finishes his letter up by stating, "At this coming Passover and foot washing service, let us remember Christ's great sacrifice and perfect example of love, humility, and service. And let us rededicate our lives to God in Christ-like service." So then who is the greatest? It is the one who taught us to be a servant. It's the one who washed the disciples' feet and died for our sins. The ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate service. So as we look to the root of our attitudes that hold us back and put us on wrong wavelengths and that detract us, let's remember daily to be striving to have the heart of that Christ-like attitude of leadership. We've all been called to be servants, servant leaders. We've all seen that Christ taught and lived a life of and had the heart of a servant. So let's follow Christ's teaching and His example. So today, as we look ahead to the Passover service tomorrow evening and the days of unleavened bread throughout the next week, let's think about how we can be striving to have the heart of a servant, and let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.